90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Good morning, Kansas City. It is Thursday morning, and it's time for Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Before I start out, I'd like to say it's National Volunteer Week. And for those of you who don't know, KKFI is the all-volunteer station. So volunteers are the engine that drives not only our station, but they drive the world. They do a lot of different things around the world, from volunteering in hospitals to people who volunteer at churches. So if you are volunteering, enjoy the week, and if you're thinking about volunteering, you can make a change in somebody's life just by volunteering and doing some things that you do on a normal daily basis. It's Money Smart Month, and we are having one of our Money Smart experts in, who's always in, Ms. Marilyn Chappelle of Exceeds Expectations. Good morning, Marilyn. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. Rather, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back, Mr. Jackson.
So, every April, I dedicate all the shows to Money Smart financial literacy information, because it is one thing that I see as a neighborhood leader, community activist, that people in our community need a lot of help with learning how to budget their money, but also knowing how to budget their money, which is most important. So today we're going to be talking about credit, but also if you have questions for our expert, just give us a call on our studio line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So, Marilyn, let's talk about credit. What is credit?
So, credit is where you're borrowing. Well, usually in order to get credit, you have to borrow money to be able to show your payment history, to show your how much money you actually have owed, and just show your discipline, you know. So credit is usually just borrowing money and, you know, repaying that back, but making sure that you're paying it on time in order to get that high credit score that everybody is looking to get, right?
Correct. And credit is the one thing, like my dad said about a reputation, it's the one thing that is hardest to get but easiest to lose.
Tell me about it. Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't understand is that one bill that you may not pay can do significant damage to your credit if you're established. But if you're not established with credit, it's getting that first bank to give you that first loan.
Yes.
And what a lot of people don't look at is, you need to look at maybe if it's your first time going after a secured loan.
Yep. And a lot of people don't know about that.
And as we talk about a secured loan, what is a secured loan, Marilyn?
Yeah. So a secured loan is where you take your assets and you borrow against your money, right? So your collateral. And so what that may look like, it may look like a personal loan. Say if you have, and usually you have to have a money market savings account in order to be able to borrow against your own money. And so in order to do that money market savings account, you have to have more than $1,000 in there. And so if you go into your bank or your credit union and they offer that secured loan against your savings account, your money market savings account, then that may look like you borrowing maybe $500 or $1,000 from your money market savings account. And now instead of your interest rate being high, you know, maybe it might be, if it wasn't secured, it'd probably look like 10 or 12 or even more because it's a personal loan. But when you have a secured loan, you're looking at 2 or 3% on your money. And now you're borrowing against your money and you're paying yourself back. But the key is that it reports to the credit bureau. And so that's what you want. So for all those people who do not like to borrow from a lender, or not, you know, you be the lender then. So that means that, you know, as you're budgeting your money, then try to get to that $1,000 as quick as you can, because really that's your emergency savings. But if you want to use it to build up your credit, then you can do so.
But what people have to understand is that when you do a secured loan, your $1,000 is still there, but you can't touch your $1,000 until that loan is actually paid back.
You're so correct. So correct.
And another thing is that you can get a secured credit card. I know Arvis Bank does them as low as $300. You can do one for $300 or $500. You put the money in a CD.
Absolutely.
And then you turn around and you can get a credit card instead of doing one of those things on TV where you're going to pay $79.95, borrow against your own money, your own collateral.
Absolutely.
You're still building credit. And if something happens, you've already got the money on file that you can go ahead and pay that card off and just close it out if you have to.
Yes, and that's another question that a lot of people ask, you know, so where do I, you know, where am I able to open up a secure credit card? And like you said, go to your bank or your credit union. And that's really important when you're trying to find out who should I bank with? Who, you know, should I bank with a bank or a credit union? Research those financial institutions. And one thing that we have to remember with asking ourselves is, you know, what do we want to accomplish, you know, in the next 5 years? And then as you're researching those financial institutions, make sure they're in alignment with where you're trying to go. So if you're trying to build up credit, then you want to ask them, do you guys offer secure credit cards? And then, yes, open that secure credit card up, but then treat it just like a regular unsecured credit card. Because what I mean by that is that the way it makes up a credit, your credit score, is 35% is your payment history. Mm-hmm. 30% is the amount owed on that account. 15% is the length of credit history. 10% is new credit. And 10% is types of credits used. And so where I'm coming from is that the reason why you want to treat your secured credit card just like an unsecured credit card is that 30% of, you shouldn't use no more than 30% of the available
credit line
that you have. So what that may look like is if you have a $500 secured credit card, then you shouldn't use no more than $150 of that credit card. And so what I mean by that is not carrying over that balance over into the next month.
So one of our co-hosts, Ms. Mabita Oliver, has joined in. We're talking about credit this morning. What people need to understand, so if you've got a $500 credit card amount limit, 30% of that is roughly going to be $150.
Yes.
So you shouldn't go over $150. Now, there are some things you can do to kind of go that, because if you have a credit card that's got a $500 balance and you say use $400 of it, mm-hmm. and you open up another credit card with a $1,000 balance, mm-hmm. so now the two total are $1,500, so then 30% of that would then be essentially $450, mm-hmm. so you would then bring your overall credit utilization down to below 30%. So
absolutely.
There's some things that you can do. There's not...
Absolutely.
There's no secret to credit. It's just like a book. You pick up and read it. But that's what a lot of people don't want to do. And they're afraid to go in and ask questions.
That's right.
And as you were saying about a bank, if your bank is not going to be... You're not banking for where you're at right now. You're banking for where you want
to go.
Where you're trying to go.
That's right.
And if they're not trying to help you, or they don't have the facilities that you would be able to need to get yourself
keep
where
searching.
You're trying to go, it's trying to find another bank.
That's right. Because, you know, personal finance is 80%, 80% of your habits and 20% of knowledge.
Exactly.
So once you begin to become knowledgeable around, you know, finances, and it's just those little things like you said with credit, then now it's just putting them into place, putting them into action. And so that means creating that budget. That means, you know, watching your balances on your credit cards and making sure you're paying on time. It's just making sure that you're doing those little things all the time. And that even looks like looking at your credit report, you know, I don't know. I look at it like weekly. I don't know. I'm just like that. Because, you know, Credit Karma is free, right?
Yep.
So, you know, so why don't you use it? You know, and Credit Karma is very educational. They have a lot of tips and tools. So there's so many tips and tools out there that we can be using that is for free. And even your financial institutions, you know, they give out free knowledge, you know. And one thing that I'm doing with my organization, ExceedsExpectations.org, is that we're showing that information all month. You know, we're sharing tips and tools, resources all month around financial literacy, because this month is financial literacy month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people need to look at. I know one of the guests we had last year, BMO Harris, had put together a situation where they would give you a secured loan. They would give you the money for a secured loan, mm-hmm. put that money into a CD for you. Then you would make payments on it for 6 months. They would report every month to your credit union.
Yes.
So it was a way for you to build money. So that at the end of 6 months, you would get a little bit of that interest that you pay back. So nothing beats a failure but a try. If you can walk into your bank, ask to sit down with one of the customer service or mm-hmm. personal bankers, and tell them where you're at, but yes. also tell them where you want to go.
And you know what? And that's their job. That's their job, and they want, and they sign up to want, and they want to help you.
Right. I know when I was working for my father, and so as a teenager, I was collecting a lot of money in my bedroom, you know, and he was saying, well, he sent me down to the bank that he did business with, and he said, go talk to this man. That man turned out to be the president of that bank.
Nice.
And I was like, after it was all over, I was really scared. I said, well, you going to come with me? And he was like, no. But he said, you should get to know your banker, because
right.
they have your money, and you should know what's going to be happening with
absolutely.
You know? And he said, feel comfortable with that. And so I felt like I was being thrown, you know, into a shark tank, but it wasn't.
Well, he was teaching you.
Yeah. And the banker addressed me like an adult. And I was very appreciative of that. And after that, every time I go to a bank, that's the kind of relationship I'm looking for. And if they're not ready to
absolutely.
Do that, then I'm going someplace else.
That's so right. And I'm glad that you shared that, is that you said that you should share with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, pretty much where you're at, where you're trying to go, let them know. Because that's the only way that, you know, bankers, loan officers, financial institutions can help.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, working in the financial industry for over 12 years and, you know, being that loan officer and then being that vice president that was able to overturn decisions based on the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't tell the story, and, you know, a lot of times we'll sit down and they'll ask us questions and say, you know, well, what happened in 2017? Because I see that there's some trends that look like you're having some financial problems. A lot of people will get resistant at that point and be like, I'm not telling you my business.
Uh-huh.
But I'm here to tell you, tell them. Because what they want to do is they want to fight and work on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, like I said, being in that position where I was able to overturn based on, you know, the story, based on where you're at now, because you're no longer in that situation, it makes a difference to be up front.
Mm-hmm.
Just be honest.
Yeah.
But you also may have a great chance of turning that no into a yes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you may have went in there wanting to get $1,000.
Yeah.
And they may say that, well, we can only give you $500. You know, that may help you get toward where you're going. But when I was reading T.D. Jakes' book about 10 years ago, and he said the one thing he does every January, he calls it the State of the Jakes.
Yeah.
He sits and he looks down and he says, you look at where their financial position is at,
mm-hmm.
what they want, the financial goals they want to accomplish for that year,
mm-hmm.
and then they put together that plan. So a great time to start is every January to start it out.
That's right.
Review it again in April when it's tax time. So then you kind of know whether I'm on target or I'm not on target. So then by June, so then it's 2 months later, you do another review. Mm-hmm. It's June. So now you're halfway through the year and you kind of know where am I meeting my goals? Am I not meeting my goals? The things I need to do. There is no magic key to credit. It's just information and knowledge. And to go back to something that Marvita was saying, a lot of people are afraid to take their children to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as your child can walk and talk, take him he or she to the bank with you. Let them start seeing you put money into the bank, and then they'll get that free lollipop from from the teller. But also they're getting to know the people at the bank, so when they start to get 13, 14, 15 years old,
that's right,
they are then turning around saying, well, I want to go put my money. It won't be in your room like Marvita did. Your money will be in the bank.
But that you was also, your start, right?
But you also
it was
are,
a bank.
But you're also building that relationship, because then when they get to be 16, 17, and they want to start looking at getting a car, then they'll know they can't sign a contract till they get 18, but they'll know what they're going to need when they turn 18 to get that first loan from the bank. And if they've got those funds in the bank, they've got a significant head start over someone who doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, that just goes back to, you know, when we know better, we do better. So even as parents, you know, as we learn more and we realize that some of those things that we did in our past wasn't the best decisions, as we learn, you know, the right decisions to make, then let's pass them on to our kids, just like you stated. One thing that I did last summer with my daughter was her first year of working. She worked at the age of 14, started at the age of 14, just like I did. And she started at McDonald's. And the first thing we did with her first paycheck is we opened up an account, not just a savings account. We opened up a checking and a savings. I wanted to show her how to use her checking and how to use her savings. And because she's under our household, there was no reason for her to live off of the 90, right? So, you know, I taught her to, you know, let's put 50% of your check into savings and 50% into your checking. And you can have all the fun you want with your checking, your spending, right? But we're going to keep that savings because you don't know what you want to do during the school year when there's something that I might not want to pay for.
And then you've got, no, you're exactly right, because I did that with my daughter when she was at McDonald's. She would get paid every Friday, and I would, okay, here's the check. We'd sit down and say, this is how much is going to put into the bank in checking. This is how much you're going to get in the savings.
Right.
This is how much you get to blow, because she got paid every Friday.
Right.
I'm like, this is your weekly money. This is not asking dad anymore.
They learn real quick how to budget.
Can I have $2 or $3? You're exactly right. But they also learn to make better decisions, because the money that they will have spent, they will spend your money anyway because it doesn't impact them.
Yes.
And they should tell her, well, you've got, you know, you had $75. So no, I don't want to spend my money on that.
Yeah.
Oh, you start to learn to make smarter decisions real quick.
They do. And, you know, and that comes from them watching you, watching your parents, you know. Mm-hmm. So one thing, I'm so against, you know, purchasing an iPhone, you know, for a child. I mean, I just am. So she wanted an iPhone. So I was like, well, that means you're going to have to pay for it, because I'm not paying for it, because the phone that you have works perfectly fine. And so what she did on her own, and I'm watching her every step, is she researched. She researched all the phones, iPhones. She found a couple of them, and she found the one that worked in her budget. And she saved up her money to pay for her own phone. But what got me was that she researched.
Because
she
was
wasn't
using
so
her,
quick.
She was using
to purchase
her money, and she wanted to make sure that she was an informed consumer. But had it been your money, she would have. She'd asked you for an iPhone 10.
Right.
But,
and crack the screen the next week.
And expect you just to go get
another one. And that's what learning and teaching, not only your children, but we as adults, we don't know a lot of different things and going from that aspect. Because as we talk about good credit, what is defined as good credit? What credit score range do you really need to have to say you have good credit?
So about 720 or above is really good credit. Now, can you still get, you know, buy a home or a car with like a 680, maybe even a 640? Yeah. You know, can you get a different, a decent interest rate? Yeah. You know, but your goal should really be, you know, 720 or above. And just work toward those goals. Now, should it keep you from not wanting to purchase that home when you know that you'll actually be paying less, you know, by purchasing rather than renting? you know, it doesn't mean that you don't, you have to wait, because I mean, you could still get, I mean, and I know this is another segment, but you know, there's, you could still get into programs like an FHA loan and get the lowest interest rate, you know, for, you know, as low as 580, you know, but definitely yes. Talk to your lender, you know, and let them, you know, teach you or share with you the best programs out there to make sure that it works best for you, you know, because I know that's another segment.
You're jumping in the next
I know,
segment,
because right?
We're going to talk about what a lot of people don't know. We're just briefly just to mention it here. We're going to talk about home buying next week, because people are paying more to rent the same house than they could to buy it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people sit and say, well, I don't have a 700 credit score. There are banks in this city that, as Marilyn said, in some cases they'll go down to as low as a 580, mm-hmm. but I know one that will normally do a 620.
620, yeah. That's the.
So,
yeah,
and a 620 is considered fair credit.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just have no knocks on your credit or not too many late pays, you can get a 620 without an issue, which means that $900 that you're paying to rent that bad house.
Yeah.
You can drop that in half,
right,
and buy a house. And by buying that house, you're not only building something that you can leave to your children, but at the same point in time, you're finding a way to restructure and use your money the way in which you want to. But that's going to be next week's topic. So as we talk about then, we've talked about what good credit is.
Yes.
Then what is bad credit?
So your bad credit in... You know, at the end of the day, it comes down to discipline. So, but bad credit is more of like your credit cards, you know, and when you become disciplined using that, you know, I look at it as a way to better your credit and maintain it, because, I mean, you just need it in order to build your credit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just do, you know, but I know there's people out there who don't believe in borrowing, but that's why where I say be your own lender, you know, but you need a balance in order to establish credit, you need balance. And what that looks like is one installment loan and one revolving account. Mm-hmm. So your installment loan looks like your auto loans, your mortgages, a personal loan, whether it's small, $300, student loans. Those are all installment loans. Now your revolving accounts are going to be, you know, your credit cards or an account that is a variable rate that, you know, may fluctuate, you know, monthly. So that might look like your credit cards or a home equity line of credit that is not fixed. That's going to be a revolving account. But you need at least one of each just to establish credit. Now, another way, and this is just a little trick, because, you know, to me, credit is all about games. Mm-hmm. it's all about playing a game. Mm-hmm. And so a way to establish credit as well is that, if, like, say, for instance, if you had a high credit score and you have, you know, a couple of credit cards, you never missed a payment, my credit score was bad, and I asked you, can you add me on to, and of course, you know, I would have to be your spouse, right? You have to know that person, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you add them on as an authorized user. So if you added me on to your credit card as an authorized user and you haven't made no late pays, you know, nothing but on-time pays, you have good credit, automatically I will have credit history of the same credit history on that credit card account that you do, and automatically I have a credit score.
Okay.
You know, so of course you wouldn't want to do that with nobody that you do not know.
Yes.
and that you do not trust. Now, I see a lot of parents do that with their children.
Yes.
And they will not allow them to use that credit card.
That's the second thing I was going to say.
A lot of times.
You don't even give them the card. You tell them, but you don't give them
yeah.
the card.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't know the information about the card, because then you can still go to the store and say, well, I'm on the card.
Right.
They can pull you up. But it's a way in which children in non-minority communities
yeah.
at 18 start out with a credit score of 720.
That's right.
Because when they're 16 and 17, the parents have put them on three different credit cards.
Uh-huh. And made their payments on time.
Made the payments on time. So now when they're 18, they can walk into the bank and say, I want to borrow $5,000 to go buy this car. And it's one of those moments. We're leading to where I wanted to go, because the one thing that we all have to have is a car. And what you see in our community is a lot of buy here, pay here. But those buy here, pay here places, they have their place in some sort of times. But if you go, you should only go there once. Because after you did that first one, no, folks, they're not going to report it to the credit bureaus. Yeah. They're not going to do any of those things, because they have people out there making $600 and $700 a month car payments. Mm-hmm. And if you can make a $700 car payment with them, you can make a $500 car payment to Ford. Yeah. So people are they're not going to tell you. So then once that car rolls down and you've paid $3,000 or $4,000 more for it, that's why they tell you there's no interest. It's already built in. So start to find ways to improve your credit score. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you may not be able to start out with a $25,000 car.
Right.
But if you got a 670, and you go to your banker and you say, I want to go to Not New Auto Sales or Used Car Place and get a $3,000 car with a $100 a month payment, your banker is going to be more willing to do that. Mm-hmm. Once you've paid off that $3,000 car in 2 years, now you can go back to him and say, I want to get this $20,000 Toyota. Mm-hmm. And he's going to say, well, you've got a 3-year payment history of good with us. The car is a collateral. Your credit scores went up. You're going to get that car.
And, you know, it goes back to when we know better, we do better. Mm-hmm. So that means that now the key to all of this is making sure that you plan for all of your big purchases, that you don't just go out there and just buy, you know, just to, you know, because you want to, right? So when we just buy just because we want to, a lot of times we walk right into bad deals. Mm-hmm. And we just accept the first thing that comes, that's offered to us, because it's appealing to the eye. That's what we want, and that's what I'm going to get, and that's what I want to have, right? Mm-hmm. But if you plan for your purchases and make sure that they align, that what you're trying to do aligns with your personal goals, then you will make better financial decisions. So I know the question might be, well, how do I do that? Well, first, write it down. You know,
budget.
Yep, write it down. So budget. You know, and then figure out what time frame that you're wanting to make that big purchase, whether it's a car or a home. But since we're talking about cars today, you know, figure out when do you want to make that purchase, you know, and how long it's going to take you to save that money.
We've got a call on line one. Jeff, can you tell us? Well, we know your name is Jeff. Can you tell us what part of your town you're calling from and what your question is this morning?
I'm on the east side of Kansas City, and you know, you're talking about the use of credit cards to build credit. One of the things that I was able to do to build my credit was I got a credit card with a low limit, and I used it for something that I was going to use. I was going to buy every month, anyway, which was gas for my car.
Yes.
And you use it just for, you know, the little things that you need with the car, the gas, things like that. You pay it off every month. You know, and it takes some,
discipline
on your part to use it just for that. But that is a way, a good way to build credit, because you start to show that payment history and you pay it off every month. It's, you know, it's money that you were going to spend every month anyway.
Yes.
That's all right.
And two, when you dedicate a card that you're using for a certain thing that you know you're going to spend money for anyway, they have those different rewards programs, and you can get the benefit of those too, because that stuff can rack up depending on what you like, whether it's miles or cash back or clothes. You know, it can help a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't even really have to necessarily be a bank card. It could be a credit card from one of the gas companies or whatever.
Absolutely.
Although I think they probably have higher interest rates. I don't know.
Yeah, they do. That's the one thing that you've got with that is the higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for your call, Jeff. You have any other comments before we...
No, that's it. I just wanted to you know, make sure that that got across to folks, that they can use the credit card to, with, you know, in a disciplined way to actually build credit.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Can I ask a question? What if you're disciplined and everything is good and you wrote your goals down and then your transmission fails?
Yeah.
That's an unexpected.
Because that's real, right?
That's an unexpected emergency. But that's why you don't want to use that credit card to pay for that transmission. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important that you have an emergency savings fund that you put back every month, because there's two things you can do in that situation. Mm-hmm. If you've got the $4,000 that's going to cost you to get a transmission, mm-hmm. you can pay to get your transmission done. But if you have $4,000 in your bank, mm-hmm. you can take the $4,000 and get a secured loan with it. Still have your $4,000 and make the payments toward
Absolutely.
Your transmission getting repaired. So then at the end of 18 months, you still have your $4,000 and you haven't used it.
That's true.
So there are some things that you can do. It just all depends on your situation. But what we want people to walk away with this morning is that you want to put yourself in a situation where you have options.
Yes. Yeah. And I will tell you, too, is that another thing to do, if you're disciplined, like you said, you're disciplined, your transmission comes out. I mean, your transmission goes out and you're trying to find the funds and you really don't want to, you know, tap into your funds, is that one thing that we did, because we had an emergency with our car, is that, you know, we took our car to Firestone and they fixed it, and we actually signed up for their 0% interest. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was like 0% interest for 18 months, and it paid for the work that needed to be done. But we made sure that we made a plan. We're going to pay this off within 18 months at 0%.
Yeah, and it's just like when Nebraska Furniture Mart has that sale, like they're having one now, and it's 32 months, no interest. Make sure you cut that payment into a situation where you're going to have it done within 30 months, because at that same point in time, if you're 32 months in one day, all that interest that accrued
Absolutely.
Over that non-payment period will go on there, and it could be if you got a 36-month plan, it could be $1,000 worth of interest that gets tacked back on there. Mm. So that's why, yes, you're going
to
get those.
Strategic.
You have to be strategic about it. You get those. That TV sounds great, that you're going to get that $900 TV, and then they're going to give you $200 off of it, and then you're going to put it on that credit card, and you got 18 months. You need to make sure that every month that I'm paying at least $50
that's
on
right.
that card.
Divide it out.
And divide, if they tell you 18, you divide it out by 17.
Yep.
You want to make sure you got at least a 30-day grace period.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with Home Depot. They had mm-hmm. something that I wanted, and I went ahead and bought it. I divided it the number of months that it was going to take me, but I also make sure I'm going to pay it off a month early.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do that, yep.
Because there's no prepayment penalty to pay off your cards, you know, quickly. So that's always a good thing. But I want to throw in real quick that the key is not to go out and just open up all these cards just because they say 0% interest. You know, because that's a quick way that you can make your credit score go down real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's because of inquiries on your credit report. And if they deny you, on top of the inquiries, then it's even worse.
And we'll take a break after this. A hard inquiry on your credit is anytime you go and ask for a credit, say at your bank, Nebraska Furniture Mart, mm-hmm. Quick Trip, wherever, that's called a hard pull on your credit.
Yeah.
That automatically is going to cost you about 10 points.
Yep.
So if you go and do 3 hard pulls in 30 days, your credit score that was 720 is now 690.
Yep. And those inquiries stay on your credit report for
two years. Exactly. It takes you 2 years to get those points
yep.
back. But we've got to take a short break. We'll be right back. You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. This is Kansas City's community radio station. This is Cowtown Conversation. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Our guest this morning is Marilyn Chappelle of Exceeds Expectations. Stay tuned. Be right back after this short break. And we're back. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're talking about credit with our credit expert, Ms. Marilyn Chappelle of Exceeds Expectations. So we've been building up, talking about credit, different things. But one of the things I really wanted to make sure we got out today was car loans. So as we there was a great seminar last year at Money Smart Day, which is actually coming up this Saturday at the Central Library from 10 to 3. Uncle Carlon's, it was one last year. So what is the first thing that we should do, Marilyn, if we're looking at one to buy a car?
Well, the first thing that you will want to do is definitely check your credit and see where you're at. So always know where you're at, you know, so you can calculate the cost, right? So you can actually pull your credit once a year at annualcreditreport.com. And it's for free. Now, that's your credit history. Now, usually they'll charge you, I think, about $8 or $9 to actually get your score. But always know what you have on your credit report before, you know, you go into a dealer and, you know, they try to offer you something. So then what you want to do is you want to research the type of car that you actually want. What type of car are you looking for? And, you know, try to find that best deal, that best selling price. And then go to your lender, I mean, go to your financial institution and let them know what you're looking into doing. And then what they will do is they will actually figure out the value for you. So usually, especially credit unions have like an ADA book in their office, and they look up the value for you and tell you what that car is worth. So they're letting you know if that dealer is selling it too high or if you should negotiate for a lower price. Now, I'm all big about negotiating. My father has showed me how to negotiate on every auto loan, right? And so, you know, he's really the one who taught me that you don't go in there and let them tell you what you can afford. So the only way that you know that what you can afford is if you do your homework prior to going in there. So you can actually go online to like bankrate.com, carpaymentcalculator.net. Both of those sites has a car calculator, a car loan calculator, where you can decide how much you can actually afford. Now, rule of thumb is that you should not purchase an auto loan no more than 10% of your gross income. And that's just a way to make sure that you're staying within your means and that you can actually afford that vehicle. Now, going back to the financial institution and how they can help is that once they tell you the value of that car and they share with you how, or if it's a good deal or not, then they can also run or get you pre-approved. And they can run your credit, get you pre-approved to see if you approved. And a lot of times your financial institution is going to get you a lower interest rate than the dealers will.
Yes.
Because the dealers, what they'll do when you go on the lot, first they're going to ask you, what would you like your payment to be? Mm-hmm. What kind of payment are you looking for? Because in their mind, they can get you whatever you say, but your interest rate is going to be the impact if you're not careful. And so what they do is they also will run your credit, but with multiple lenders. So, and then it's just a matter of if that lender is going to bite or not and say, we want that loan. And so instead of doing that, it's better just to do your homework before. Get pre-approved by your financial institution. Now you know what your payment is. You know what's the max amount that you can finance to be in your payment range that you know that you can afford, that's comfortable for your household. And then you go out onto the lot and you tell them not to run your credit because you are pre-approved. Okay. And this is what I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm. And well, another also part of that, what people don't know is that the dealer may get you approved at 10%. And your credit union may have gotten you approved at 7.5. Well, that same lender probably did the dealer at 8%.
Yeah.
And the dealer keeps that 2% over.
It's all about them making their money.
Yeah. And when the one thing that you don't want to do when you walk into a car lot, when I was in the Air Force, my senior master sergeant did this. He walked into the lot. And the guy asked him, how much can you afford? He said, I can afford $500. So once they find out how much you can afford, he asked him one other question. He said, well, do you have a trade-in? He said, no. It's called four squares. They automatically, they can tell from how much you're going to put how much you want to make your payment per month, if you ever trade in. They can fill in the rest of the blocks themselves, knowing that, because once they get your credit, now they've got 75% of the puzzle. And he went back and bought the same car that day, and the dealer's like, I got it down to 505. And he's like, oh, that's great. Now I'll tell you another flip side. That was what he did. The first car that I ever bought was a Nissan. And I knew exactly how much I had to make my payments. So I walked in there and I said, I can only pay $300 a month. And to them, they don't think you're stuck on that number. So he showed us cars, and at the end of the day, he got us at 323. And everybody wanted to sign, and I'm like, no, I'm not signing. I said, I told you $300 a month. I drove off the lot, took a lot of heat and anger that day. Mm-hmm. He called me back the next morning and said, I have something within your range. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, if I come down there and it's not within my range, I'll never come back to your dealership again. Yep. When I walked in the door, he said, it'll be $273. Mm-hmm. And it was a car that only has 600 miles on it.
Nice.
So there's always different options. But the one thing that we fail to calculate when we go into the dealership, mm-hmm, is insurance. Yes. And TTNL.
Yep.
Tax, title, and license. As it says in the Bible, you would not build a column without first calculating the cost. When you go to buy a car, insure all the cost in there, what it's going to cost you for brakes down. Mm-hmm. But also, it's great to have that new car, but then if you can't drive that new car because you don't have insurance,
right,
or you can't put the tags on that new car, make sure that you have that money already saved and put aside.
That's right. And so a lot of dealerships get you by saying no money down. Mm-hmm. But really, is there no money down? No, because it's those other additional costs that needs to be paid within 30 days.
Yeah.
Exactly. And not only that, but if you, dealerships are doing it now, but if you look at your credit union, you can do some things differently. Because if you go in there and you can negotiate a great price on the car, mm-hmm, you can roll TTNL into your payment, and you can pay it off over 60 months if you choose to. But that's why it's so important to negotiate when you walk in that door.
That's right. Now, the key to doing that, though, is to always keep in mind the value of the vehicle. And so,
yes,
if you purchase a brand new car, those brand new cars with 0 miles on them, they depreciate as soon as you drive off.
25% the first year as you drive off the lot.
As soon as you drive off the lot. And so the value of those vehicles are not going to be the same as the cost that you paid for it. So the whole time while you're planning your cost and as you have this auto loan, is that you got to remember the value of the vehicle at all times, because at some point you're going to want to trade in that vehicle. Well, when you get ready to trade in that vehicle, if you do not, pay it off and just own it, then you want to make sure that you're going to get the amount for your vehicle that you still owe on it. And a lot of people go into new vehicles upside down in it because they're carrying over balances from their last vehicle because it's just upside down. They owe more on it than what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. We've got a caller on line one. So can you tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from and what your question is?
Hey, I'm Roger. I'm trucking south here, 35. I'm going through a late for now.
What's your question, Roderick?
Well, I guess the question, telling the folks if they get the dealer to shop for a finance for you, not to run your credit 5, 6, 7, 8 times on the different sides, on the different finance companies. You know, sign it under there and say, you know, one inquiry only. So they have a lady talk about that. One inquiry only your signature when you want the dealer to shop for your loan.
Sure. What his question is, what Roderick is asking is there a way you can just tell the dealer to do one inquiry only on your credit if you're trying to have him shop for the financing of your car?
I'm not an expert in that area on the dealer side because I've never been a dealer, but I wouldn't imagine that they can actually do that. Just go that one inquiry, have your financial institution do that, because
Well, yeah. The situation with that is each and every lender is going to want their own credit fresh pool to be able to see. Yeah. They're not going, because you may have did one last week with GMAC, and that one's 7 days old, and there you could have went out and bought a new couch, a new TV, all these different things within that 7 week period. So they're going to ask for that. But what the good point about this, is that if you have about a 2 week window, if you're shopping for something, that credit bureaus won't neck you for every one they pull. So you've got a window. If you're good, you don't go and have your credit pulled until you know you're ready to pull the trigger and buy that car.
That's right. And I want to add to that too. And each lender has different qualifications on, you know, if they're going to lend to somebody or not.
Especially if you're trying to get their best financing versus their not best financing. So does that answer your question, Roderick?
Yeah, I think so. And I just add and get off of, they already know ahead of time which financial who's going to take those who got a 600 credit score, those got a 650. They already know who's going to go.
Exactly.
Who to match them up with. So I just, that's my statement. I appreciate your show, sir.
Thank you so much. You have a great day. I also want to go back a little bit. We said earlier, you can go to annualcreditreport.com and you get to pull your Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian report once a year. But what people can do also is pull one every 30 days. I mean, pull one every 90 days. So if you're pulling one every 90 days, you pull one now, you pull one 3 months from now, pull one another 3 months from now. You can keep pulling your credit every 90 days. And as we talked about at the beginning of the show, instead of paying for your credit score, Credit Karma is free. Their points may be
a little different.
Their points may be about off maybe 30 to 40 points, but you can also use Discover. And Discover does that for people who are members as well as non-members. Their Discover FICO Advantage program, it's zero cost. And I will tell you, that one's going to be within 5 points.
Nice.
It's going to be almost on the money as where your credit score is. So if you're in a situation where you're trying to build credit, then you're good to go. So look at some of the no-cost options before you start looking at some of the low-cost options, because in the end, it's always your money.
That's right. And I will tell you that lenders, there's three areas that they look at, you know, when they're trying to qualify you for an auto loan. They look at your credit history or your credit report, your income, and the equity that the car may have. So a lot of times, you know, people may not understand why they cannot get approved for certain vehicles. Well, it's probably not only your credit is an issue, but it's probably also your debt to income, you know, making sure that you fall in line with the requirements. So
what you're already obligated for.
Right.
So if you've got a $1,000 salary and we'll say $600 is going out the window already, and then you want to try to put another $200 on top of that, they may be reluctant because they're going to say you're overextended. But some options, we all love new cars and that new car smell. But sometimes you can look at Enterprise, Avis, Hertz, all those companies sell their rental cars when they get about 36,000 miles on them. You know they've been kept up, the oil's been changed. Sometimes it's best to look at that or a program vehicle.
That's right.
I took my mom out about 8 years ago, and she wanted a new van, and I'm like, Mom, new vans don't depreciate, and she was in her 70s, and I'm like, we don't want to have new car payment. And we were able to find her a program car that had 24,000 miles on it. She was able to put the extended warranty on top of that to cover up. Still had the remainder of factory warranty, and then she could put something on top of it. So when you're buying that first car and your budget's not where you need it, sometimes look at those other options.
Yeah, because they have good programs.
Exactly. You can get some great programs and some great cars without doing all that, and then you can use that savings to be able to, you know, increase your emergency fund. So if you have a problem with that, you know, tires now are $800 for a set. And that is no joke.
So know the cost. That's why it's good to plan.
Yeah. Well, what about leasing? Is that an option? People, people should consider, or when is that an option?
I would say, at least, I have to quote Dave Ramsey: "A lease is a fleece."
Yeah,
you don't get anything with a lease, because what you're essentially saying is that I'm going to rent this car for a period of time. Mm-hmm. And then once I give that car back, I get nothing. So now I've got to turn around and buy something else, or lease something else.
You find yourself in a cycle.
Exactly. And that's what happens in that. And a lot of people can't get out of that cycle. The only way to get out of that cycle is to then go back to the dealership and buy something brand new off the lot when maybe you didn't want to.
Yeah. Now, I would say the only benefits of leasing, because I used to see my business. Parents do that early on, and now they own cars now, but they used to do that early on as we were growing up, because they knew that every 2 years they wanted to have a fresh new vehicle. But the only key to that is, and when having a fresh new vehicle every 2 years, is now you have to make sure that you stay on top of how many miles that you actually put on that vehicle. Because with leasing, even though with leasing you can get that new car with that lower payment, now you're restricted to how many miles that you can actually drive on in those 2 years. Because in 2 years, when you come back, if you made that value of that vehicle go down because you have high mileage, mm-hmm. now you're going to be coming out of pocket to have to pay for that difference of that vehicle when you're getting ready to trade in. So there's a lot of questions you should ask the dealer when it comes, and get educated around leasing.
Also, that
are restrictions.
Every dent, every coffee spill, every kid's drop this. Mm-hmm. Everything that happens to that car is called excess wear and tear. So what they usually hit people with is excess mileage. But then if the carpet is staying in this way, or that's going on, then they get you with that. So as we close out, Marilyn, do you have any words for people that may be looking at buying cars and things they should do? You know, just a quick tip. A quick 1, 2, 3 down and dirty they should be looking at doing?
Sure. So, one, just make sure that you have a plan. So write it down. Budget for it. No more than 10% of your gross income. One thing that we do in our household is we only have one car note. So we have multiple cars, but we only have one car note, and we've done that all the time. So come up with something that works for your household, and just make sure that you purchase within your means.
So... And I know you have Facebook, you're all on the social media. What's your website in case they want to contact you or get some information to see? Because you also put out a tip a day if they want to look at signing up for that. So what is your social media sites for them to look up?
Yeah, so our website is exceedsexpectations.org, or you could just say letsexceed.org. So you can go to our website. You can also go to our Facebook page. So our Facebook page is Exceeds Expectations. And then we also have an Instagram, exceeds.expectations. And you can follow us there. We're putting out tips and tools and resources daily this month. And, I mean, we're always educating, but we're always looking to hold you accountable, you know, every step of the way on helping you achieve your goals.
Thank you so much, Marilyn, for being a guest. So we never end Cowtown Conversations without our Community Minute. Next, this Saturday, 4/13, is Money Smart Day at the Kansas City Public Library Central Location downtown from 10 to 3. That location is 14 West 10th Street. Also, KCPD South Patrol is having a candy egg Easter egg hunt this Saturday for April 13th from 11 to 1 at South Patrol, which is located at 9701 Marion Park Drive. For more information, contact the Community Area Action Officer, Mary McCall, at South Patrol Station. And also, East Patrol is having a resource day next 4/17, which is going to be next Wednesday at East Patrol, which is located at 2640 Prospect from 4 to 7 p.m. So tune in next week. We're going to be talking about housing as we continue our Money Start programming. For Cowtown Conversation, this has been your host, Joseph Jackson. Have a great and blessed day, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.